This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al-atamman al-akmalani ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين أما بعد. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We continue on with our series on the lives of the Sahabiyat. And we started this series with the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we started with Khadija radiallahu anha. And today we conclude with the last wife that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married, and that was Maymunah bint al-Harith. Maymunah bint al-Harith radiyallahu anha. And so she is Maymunah bint al-Harith ibn Hazm. However, her name at birth was not Maymunah. It was Barrah. Her original name was Barrah. And later on, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam changed it to Maymunah. And, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would often change the names of his companions whenever a certain name was not appropriate. So Barra, the word Barra means someone who is righteous, someone who is, you know, pious and righteous. And, you know, this is like a praise, like a self-praise. And we shouldn't praise ourselves. As for Maymunah, it means someone who is pure, someone who is happy or blessed. Her father was Al-Harith ibn Hazm from the Hilali tribe of Mecca. And her mother was Hind bint Auf. Al-Himyariyah. And this woman, we mentioned her previously when we spoke about Zainab bint Khuzaymah. Zainab bint Khuzaymah was one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this woman Hind was also her mother. Hind bint Auf was also the mother of Zainab bint Khuzaymah. So now we have Maymunah and Zainab. Their mother is Hind bint Auf, but their fathers are different. So they are half-sisters. And we mentioned how this woman was special. The Arabs would say that there was no woman who had more noble son-in-laws than her. Meaning that all of her daughters married the most noble of Arab men. And, you know, these noble men even became Muslim. So who were they? Well, we have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, what greater honor than that? And he didn't just marry one of her daughters, but he married two. Maymunah and her half-sister, Zainab bint Khuzaymah. And then we have Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who married Umm al-Fadl. So Umm al-Fadl is also the daughter of Hind. And then we have Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib, the other uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, who married Salma bint Umays, another of the daughters of Hind. And then there was Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, who married Lubabah bint al-Harith, another one of the daughters of Hind. And she was the mother of Khalid ibn al-Walid. She was the mother of Khalid ibn al-Walid. And then you have Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, who married Asma bint Umays, another one of the daughters of Hind bint Auf. And when Ja'far passed away, she married Ali radiallahu anh. And then she married Abu Bakr. And so, you know, look at all of these daughters of Hind bint Auf, who married, you know, some very, very special men. And so this shows us how the mother of Maymuna was unique and special. You know, all of her daughters went on to marry the most special men of their time. And as we mentioned, these women, so these daughters, they all went on to accept Islam. And that's why Abdullah ibn Abbas, who is the son of one of these women, right? Umm al-Fadl. Abdullah ibn Abbas is her son. He says, Al-Akhawat al-Mu'minat, the believing sisters were Maymuna, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, Umm al-Fadl, the wife of al-Abbas, Asma bint Umays, the wife of Ja'far, and Salma, who is the wife of Hamza. So the Prophet ﷺ, or Abdullah ibn Abbas, he mentioned how all of these sisters, they were believers. They were believers. All right, Maymuna radiallahu anha, she was first married to Mas'ud ibn Umair al-Thaqafi. Mas'ud ibn Umair al-Thaqafi, who later on divorced her. So then she married Abu Ruhm ibn Abd al-Uzza. Abu Ruhm ibn Abd al-Uzza, who later on passed away. He later on passed away. Now, Maymuna had embraced Islam before the Hijrah. However, she remained in Mecca, as she didn't have anyone to make Hijrah with. She didn't have any, you know, male relatives who she could travel to Medina with. And the story of her marriage to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes us to the sixth year of the Hijrah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had set out with the Muslims for Mecca to make Umrah. And so they were met with resistance, and they camped outside of Mecca at a place known as Hudaybiyah. There, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held negotiations with Quraysh, which would later on lead to the peace treaty known as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. And part of the agreement was that the Muslims are not going to be allowed to perform Umrah this year, but they would have to return the following year to perform Umrah. Also, the agreement was that when they come back to perform Umrah the following year, they would only be allowed to spend 3 days in Mecca, and then they have to leave. So now a year passes by, and in Dhul Qa'dah of the seventh year, all those who were present with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Hudaybiyah, now they set off from Medina to make their long-awaited Umrah. They reached Mecca, and part of the agreement that Quraysh made was that when the Muslims come, they would vacate Mecca for the period of the stay of the Muslims. And this was because of their hatred for the Muslims. They couldn't stand seeing them. So they left Mecca. Quraysh, the people of Mecca, they evacuated from Mecca. They went onto the hilltops and the mountains surrounding Mecca, where they could see the Muslims from far. So the Muslims, they go into Mecca, and they perform their Umrah. And once they had completed their Umrah, Maymuna, who had been living in Mecca, and by now she was a widow, she had a wish to marry the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She had this wish. She wanted to marry Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she shared this interest of hers with her sister, Umm al-Fadl, the wife of Al-Abbas. And so she went and shared it with her husband Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Al-Abbas, he didn't waste any time. He went straight to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he tells him, O Messenger of Allah, Barra, you know, that was the name of Maymuna, as we mentioned. He said, Barra has been widowed after Abu Ruhm. So why don't you marry her? Why don't you marry her? So Al-Abbas, you know, he proposed. He said, you know, this is a good idea. Why don't you marry Maymuna? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam agreed. And he sent Ja'far ibn Abi Talib to give her the good news. So when Ja'far came and told Maymuna of the good news, at the time she happened to be riding on a camel. And out of extreme joy, she jumped off of the camel and said, this camel and everything on it is for Allah and His Messenger. Now it is said that this ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab was revealed concerning Maymuna, because she offered herself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَامْرَأَةً مُؤْمِنَةً إِنْ وَهَبَتْ نَفْسَهَا لِلنَّبِيِّ إِنْ أَرَادَ النَّبِيُّ أَنْ يَسْتَنْكِحَهَا خَالِصَةً لَكَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah mentioned that it is also permissible for you, O Muhammad, to marry a believing woman who offers herself to the Prophet without any dowry, without any mahr, if he is interested in marrying her. This is exclusively for you, O Muhammad, not for the rest of the believers. Not for the rest of the believers. However, others mention that the woman that is being referred to here in this ayah refers to another woman. You know, there's a hadith where a woman comes and, you know, offers herself in marriage to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet ﷺ didn't say anything, as if he was not interested. So one of the companions asked, O Messenger of Allah, if you're not interested in her, can I marry her? Right? And there are other opinions mentioned as to which woman is being referred to here. But the reality is that there were several women who proposed themselves directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's not necessarily talking about one particular woman. And this was mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari. So anyways, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then married Maymuna in Mecca. And as I mentioned, he changed her name to Maymuna. Initially, it was Barra. So he married her in Mecca, and now he wanted to have a walima in Mecca before they left. However, as we mentioned, part of the agreement that he had with Quraysh in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was that the Muslims would only be allowed to stay in Mecca for 3 days. And now the 3 days were up. You know, they had to leave. So some of the leaders of Quraysh, they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, "We ask you in the name of Allah and the treaty between us to leave." So they were coming and telling him that your time is up, you have to leave. And this was, you know, because of their hatred for the Muslims. You know, it was so much so that they couldn't stand the presence of the Muslims in Mecca. And they were just waiting for the 3 days to be up so they could leave. So now, immediately, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him to leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Look, I have just married a woman from among you. It won't harm you if I finish my wedding with her and prepare a walima. You know, we'll have a huge feast, and I want you guys also to come and enjoy the food." So they said, "Look, we have no need for your food. We ask you to leave. We ask you in the name of Allah to leave." In one narration, it says that Quraysh, they said, "We want you to leave our land. This is our land." So some of the Ansar, they were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time. And one of the leaders of the Ansar, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he said, out of anger, he said, "This is not your land, nor the land of your fathers." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calmed him down and said, "We will leave. We will leave." So they left Mecca, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam held the walima outside of Mecca at a place called Sarif, on the way out of Mecca, heading towards Medina. On the way out of Mecca, heading towards Medina. And this is where he had the walima with the companions, and this is where he consummated the marriage with Maymuna radiallahu anha. Now, Maymuna, she ended up only staying with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the next 3 years before he passed away. So she spent the least amount of time with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from among his wives. However, even though that was the case, she is among the top of his wives in narrating a hadith. So she comes third after Aisha and Salama in terms of narrating a hadith. So it's mentioned that she narrated some 76 a hadith. And seven of them are agreed upon. Seven of them are in Bukhari and Muslim. Among the important a hadith that she narrated was the description of the ghusl of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She described in detail how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed ghusl. Right? She said she would come bring the bucket of water and prepare the water for him, and then how he would pour the water, and how he would make ghusl from beginning all the way until the end. And so through this narration, we learn how we're supposed to perform the ghusl. She also narrated the hadith that mentions how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank milk on the day of Arafah. And this was because, you know, the people were confused. They didn't know whether the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fasting or not on that day when they made Hajj and they were standing in Arafah. you know, the day of Arafah is a day that we fast. However, not for those who are making Hajj. Not for those who are making Hajj. So the companions, they didn't know. And they were too shy to go and ask the Prophet ﷺ if he was fasting. So again, it shows the, you know, the wisdom of Maymuna. She was very wise and intelligent. So she narrates the hadith. She says, people had doubts about the fasting of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Arafah. Right? They didn't know. So I sent him a cup of milk while he was standing on the plains of Arafah, and he drank from it while everyone was looking at him. So that's how everyone knew that the Prophet ﷺ was not fasting on that day. We also have the famous incident of when Rasulullah ﷺ was presented with the meat of a certain animal, the dhab. The dhab is basically a desert lizard. It's a desert lizard. It's very huge. And, you know, some of the Arabs, they used to eat it. And this incident took place in her house. Ibn Abbas is the one who narrates it. So Ibn Abbas, Abdullah Ibn Abbas, is the nephew of Maymuna. So he says that Khalid Ibn al-Walid entered the house of Maymuna with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the two of them entered the house of Maymuna, and a roasted lizard was brought to them, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached for it with his hand. He was about to eat it, but then some women, perhaps some of his wives, they said someone should go and tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam what this meat is, because they knew that he doesn't like it. So they told him, this is a lizard, O Messenger of Allah. So then he withdrew his hand. He took away his hand. And so Abdullah ibn Abbas, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is it haram, ya Rasulullah? Is this meat haram? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no. However, this is not the food of my people. You know, we are not used to this kind of food. We're from Mecca and we don't eat this. And I don't find myself inclined towards it. Right? So we learn a huge, lesson from this hadith. That took place in the house of Maymuna. And that is that, you know, certain things are not haram just because the Prophet ﷺ stayed away from it. But it could be that that he doesn't like it, you know, in terms of his personal taste. In terms of his personal taste. Now, Maymuna radiallahu anha was also known for her piety and her taqwa and her righteousness. And this is something that we have seen with all of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, we have mentioned many, many examples of, you know, their ibadah, their righteousness, their taqwa. And so Maymuna was no different. Maymuna radiallahu anha was no different. And she was also known for being firm upon the truth. She was also known for, commanding the good and forbidding the evil. And, you know, being firm upon Islam. And so one day, one of her nephews came to see her, and she noticed the smell of alcohol. So she said to him, by Allah, either you go and receive the punishment for drinking, which is to be lashed, you know, to get whipped, She said, either you go and receive the punishment for drinking alcohol, or you never step in my house ever again. I don't want to ever see you. You know, this is her nephew. This is her own nephew. So it shows us that, you know, she didn't play around with the deen of Allah, but rather she was firm upon her principles and the principles of Islam. And this was something that even Aisha radiallahu anha, she, you know, commended and praised Maymuna for. One day, Yazid ibn al-Aswam, he was one of Maymuna's nephews. He was one of the nephews of Maymuna. He narrates, he says, I met Aisha. I was with the son of Talha ibn Ubaidillah. So he says, I met Aisha as she was returning from Mecca, and I was accompanied by a son of Talha ibn Ubaidillah, who was the nephew of Aisha. So here we have two of the Sahaba. One is a nephew of Maymuna, and the other is a nephew of Aisha. So the nephew of Maymuna, he says, I was with, you know, the son of Talha bin Ubaidillah, and we met Aisha as she was returning from Mecca, and we had entered one of the gardens of Medina and taken some fruit from it, right? So when Aisha found out, she turned to her nephew. She turned to her own nephew, and she admonished him, and she reprimanded him, and she criticized him. She really gave it to him, her own nephew. Then she turned to me, and she admonished me severely. And she said, do you not know that Allah has blessed you to be among the family of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? By Allah, Maymuna is gone. So here, Aisha is speaking to who? To the nephew of Maymuna. She says, by Allah, Maymuna is gone, and now you are left to your own self. Meaning, there's no one stopping you from doing as you wish. You know, when Maymuna was alive, she would really give it to you if she saw you doing something wrong. And then Aisha says, by Allah, she, meaning Maymuna, was the most God-fearing. She was the most pious of us. And she was the best at maintaining ties of kinship. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she praises Maymuna radiallahu anha for her taqwa, for her righteousness and her piety. And this also shows us that Aisha outlived Maymuna. But both of them were among the last of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen to pass away. As for Maymuna, she was the last of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry. And she was among the last to pass away. So she passed away at a very old age. It's mentioned that she was around 80 years old when she passed away. But they differed. They differed over the year of her death. So some say she passed away in the year 51, and others say that she passed away in the year 61. And this was after performing Hajj. So she went to perform Hajj, and after the Hajj, she became extremely ill. She fell ill, and she felt as if she was about to die. So she told those who were with her to take her out of Mecca, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told her that she would not die in Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told her that she would not die in Mecca. So they took her until they reached the exact same place where Maymuna married Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam outside of Mecca at that same place called Sarif. You know, outside of Mecca, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the walima and where he consummated the marriage with Maymuna. So that is where she also passed away, and that is where she was buried. That is where she passed away, and that is where she was buried. And this is about 10 kilometers north of the Haram boundary of Mecca. So if you're leaving Mecca on your way to Medina, on the road to Medina, it's about 10 kilometers from Masjid Aisha, which is, that area is known as At-Tan'im. And her grave is right there on the road, between Mecca and Medina. Now, she was with her nephews when she passed away. Right, she was with her nephews. As we know, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, besides Khadija, none of them had any children with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right, besides Maria, and we're going to talk about her next week, inshallah. But she was not a wife of his, as we're going to mention. So none of these wives who we have covered their lives, Aisha, Hafsa, Salama, Zainab, Habiba, and also Maymuna, none of them had any children. So who would take care of them after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It would be their nephews. Their nephews are the ones who would take care of them. So here, Maymuna, she had many nephews, right? Because we mentioned all of her sisters married some very famous companions. So at the time she was with, Abdullah ibn Abbas, her nephew Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Yazid ibn al-Aswam. Yazid ibn al-Aswam. And we mentioned Yazid ibn al-Aswam in the story of Aisha. When, he says when we encountered Aisha as she was returning from, Mecca. So this is the same Yazid ibn al-Aswam. So he narrates, Yazid ibn al-Aswam, he narrates, we buried Maymuna at Sarif, in the shaded area where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had consummated his marriage with her. Me, along with Abdullah ibn Abbas, we descended into her grave. We went down into her grave, and we laid her in her grave, and we prayed her janazah, and then we buried her in her grave. So this is basically the life of Maymuna bint al-Harith radiyallahu anha. And as I mentioned, this is the last of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the last of Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. They are our mothers, and we need to, you know, have high esteem of them and hold them in high regard. And that starts with learning about their lives. That starts with learning about who they were. And so, you know, if we think about it, no other person from among the Sahaba, none of the other Sahaba had any closer relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than his own wives. Than his own wives. Right? They had the barakah of not only living in the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but, you know, living with him and engaging with him on a very, very private and intimate level that no other person was able to do. And so that shows us their high status. And among the female companions, no one comes before them. Among all of the female companions, no one else, is higher than them in status. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singled them out in mention in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ahzab, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ, and his wives are your mothers. The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are our mothers. Now, there were other women who played an important role in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to start with the slave women that he possessed, because again, these were women who were special. You know, they had a private and intimate relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that no other woman had. So we're going to mention whoever we know of his slave women. And then after that, we're going to move on to the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his daughters, which are four. And then after that, you know, we will move on to other female companions who were close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then after that, bi-idhnillah, we'll look at some of the more famous female companions who may not have had a close relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but nonetheless, they were famous, and there are lessons to be learnt from their stories and their lives. So we'll stop here, insha'Allah ta'ala, and we will resume next week, bi-idhnillah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلي اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.